Hey everyone, and welcome to Northwoods. My name's Jason, and I'm the pastor for Northwoods Online, and we are so glad to have you join us for this weekend service. Whether you join us every weekend online or this is your first time, we're glad to have you, and we'd love for you to participate in the chat. We've got Emily and Timberly driving somewhere on the highway, but they're hosting the service this weekend, so say hello to them in the chat, and we'd just love to know your name and get to know you and maybe know where you are tuning in from today. So make sure you hop in the chat or the comments on Facebook Live. We'd love to know where you're tuning in from. Well, another way to get connected at Northwoods is to take the Four Steps classes. You can learn about Northwoods, learn your next step on your faith journey. You can get to know others all through the Four Step classes. You can take those online or on campus or any combination in between, and you can get more information about those classes by going to northwoods.church/4steps. Well, Pastor Tommy is continuing our series to talk about managing our stress and God's plan for that, and today he's talking about how to claim your protection, and it's going to be a great message. I know you're going to enjoy that, and if you are struggling to claim God's protection today, then use the live prayer button on your screen and connect with one of our prayer team members to pray with you about anything that might be going on in your life. Well, it's about time to get started with today's service, and Josh and the band are ready to go. They're ready to get this thing started, so turn up your speakers. Northwoods Online starts right now.
Good morning, Northwoods. Welcome home. We're so glad you're here today. Together, let's stand, let's sing, let's declare, and let's celebrate that our King Jesus has overcome. So come on, let's declare this truth together. To new beginnings, as we lift our eyes to a hope beyond, our creation awaits with an expectation to declare the reign of the Lord our God. We sing. We will not be moved when the earth gives away. Of triumph to declare the reign of the Lord our God. We will not be moved when the earth gives away. For there isn't what is overcome. And for every fear, there's an empty grave. Let's declare, he shall reign.
He shall reign forever. Strongholds now surrender, for the Lord our God is overcome. And who can be against us? Jesus, our defender. He is Lord, and he has overcome. He shall reign.
today.
Oh,
Anybody grateful today that the creator of the universe loves us so much and desires to be in a relationship with us, and we are everything that he says that we are? How many of us have found ourselves in a situation where everything just seems to go wrong? And we find ourselves at a crossroads where we have to decide whether to bow down to this world or to raise our hands, fully surrendering and trusting in Jesus Christ. Now, if that's you today, standing in the unknown, you're not alone. In fact, God promises to stand with us even in the flames. Daniel 3 tells a great story of God's faithfulness. And we encourage you to read it, but here's a quick summary. You see, there's a king that orders this statue to be built. And he orders everybody to kneel and worship at the sound of music, because whoever doesn't will be thrown into the fire. And then we get to see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they don't listen. They refuse to bow down and worship. They will not kneel down to this statue. Infuriated, the king has these three men thrown into the fire, only to have them pulled out because, as he says, as he claims, this king said that he sees four men walking in the fire that day. You see, your circumstance, your mountain, your trial, the enemy, they've tried throwing us into the flames. And not only will those flames ever touch us, because we're binding that in the name of Jesus right here and right now, not only will those flames never harm us, because we're covered by the blood that was shed on that cross, but you see, we will never be harmed, because there is an army of angels surrounding us today. We will never be harmed because Jesus Christ is standing with us today. We will never be harmed because God alone has promised to stand in the flames with you right there, right here, and right now. And you see, the enemy knows that. He knows that his time is up. He knows that he has been defeated. He knows that he has no power and no authority. You see, we're not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. And when we sing about God's faithfulness, we are reminded time and time again that he is not finished yet. In fact, we are reminded that he is greater than any obstacle that we may ever face. So as we sing this next song, we invite you to hold on to these words. Make these words your anthem today. In fact, all together, let's declare that we are not bowing down to this world. Instead, we are holding on to God's promises over our lives today. So come on, let's sing. There's a grace when the heart is undefiled. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another. Yeah. There's no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come with me in the space between all the things you see and this reckoning.
I know I will never be alone.
Come on, begin to declare. We sing, I know.
Together. Jesus, your name is powerful. And in this moment, around this room, around this place, there's so many thoughts, so many emotions, so much that goes with your name. Hope, comforter, healer, friend, companion. We draw so much strength from you, and we call you Lord and Savior. And so we pray in your name, we worship in your name, we give all credit to you. All this is possible, Jesus, because of you and what you have done for us. So we're grateful and we're thankful, and we say we love you in return. So bless our time together in everything we say and do, that honor and glory will be brought to your name. And it is in your name that I pray. Amen. Well, you may be seated and welcome. Great to be together. Welcome, everyone. And if our ushers would kindly come forward to receive our offering. At this time, that would be great. And for those of you that may be new to us, maybe visiting or just new, let the bags pass you by. We don't want this to be awkward for you, but do whatever is comfortable for you. And we're just grateful that you are here. Great weekend to be here as we celebrate together and also just enjoy so much worship and fellowship together. But also, a lot of ministry is available to us all the time around here at Northwoods, and we're just going to highlight a few if you'll join me in watching the side screens.
Recharge your stores of enthusiasm and energy, renew your faith, and reinforce your calling at the new conference. The new conference is anchored by our distinctive core values: Word and Spirit culture, empowered people, evangelistic heartbeat, forgiveness and freedom, and grander vision. And it promises to equip you to bring hope and healing to our broken world, both right here in our community and around the globe. Through excellent keynote speakers and practical breakouts that include both a discipleship and leadership track, you will leave new, equipped to carry out the fullness of God's plan in your community, in your families, and even in your workplace. Plus, as a special bonus, we are excited that Carrie Jobe is going to be here for a night of worship on August 15th. So if you want to get registered and sign up for new, just go online to northwoods.church/new. Students are not meant to do life alone. And here at Northwoods, we want our students to be building a community of peers and mentors who are going to encourage them to follow Jesus and grow on their spiritual journey. So that's where Converge comes in. Converge is our middle school and high school ministry, depending on your campus, and it's all about providing a safe space for students to explore their faith. They'll experience live worship, solid biblical teaching, and of course, a whole lot of fun. So if you have a student, we would love to see them at Converge. You can go online for meeting times and to find a location near you. We all have seasons in life where we could use an extra boost of prayer. If you're going through a challenging, confusing, or difficult situation, you need people praying with you. And that's why every week we have 1-hour Get Prayer appointments where our trained team will listen to you and pray for any needs that you have in your life. What is your next step on your spiritual journey? Well, if you are new to Northwoods, or even if you've been around for a while, we want to see you in the Four Steps classes. You'll learn all about Northwoods, and you'll even learn more about yourself by taking the Spiritual Gifts Assessment. They happen every Sunday in Peoria and Galesburg, and at various times throughout the year on our other campuses. Plus, you can take them anytime online. So what are you waiting for? Take your next step with the Four Steps.
All right, so there's some great opportunities for you, and as they apply to you, take advantage of them, and I know that your life will be enriched for that. Well, I just want to highlight a little bit about the new conference. That is our conference, one that we create, birthed out of our ministry here, really couched in one of our values called grander vision. You know, that it's God's heart from the beginning of his story in his word to the end. We see multiplication and expansion, his heart. And that has been our heart as a church and our ministries for many, many years. And we want to be able to empower each of you to now make a difference in this church as well as in the kingdom. And so that is why we offer it. We want to see God's kingdom expand. And this is a fantastic way. So engage with it. Do whatever you need to do to maybe create some time to join in with us in August. And I know you will be changed and better for it. So, hey, listen, we're going to have a great message in just a few moments. So let's continue in our service.
Northwoods, good to be with you. Everybody having a good weekend so far? Nice and pretty outside. Thanks for being here. If you would, if you don't know me, if you're new, I'm Tommy Briggs. I'm one of the pastors here at Northwoods. If you don't know me from announcements or Freedom Class, happy to share this word with you. There are people tuning in online, so we want to welcome them and make them feel part of the room. Glad to have you with us. We're in a series, God's Strategy for Your Stress. So we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. We have this weekend and the next. We'll finish that series up. Pastor Cal last week talked to us about releasing our bitterness. Releasing bitterness. So if we did our homework, we're all cleaned up and cleaned out. And now we've got something better for God to work with. And this message today is claim your protection. Claim your protection. So my portion or assignment, this part of the Lord's Prayer is verse 13 in Matthew 6. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So as I began praying about this weekend and pondering that verse, I see two things that I know about the evil one. This is experiential as well as looking at the whole of the Gospels. If I had to boil down the evil one's mission to two things, it would be temptation and torment. So temptation to sin, for sure. But when he can't get us to sin, he wants to make us miserable in the process. So throughout my points, we're going to look at those two T words, temptation and torment. I'll come back to them once in a while. If Jesus himself prayed for protection, then it's certainly a good idea for us to do it as well. I've got six points of protection for you. If you're a note taker, I'll have six things for you to pray and exercise that protection. So the first one is protect my spirit. Protect my spirit. The enemy wants to torment you in a very distinct way for all of eternity. And that would be to keep you separate from God. To put it bluntly, he wants to drag you to hell for the rest of time. That's what your enemy would have if he gets his way. So God offers a great plan for that, and it's called salvation. And if you're already saved, bear with us for The rest of the points are for you, but you have to get this one right first. I'm not talking about, well, I attend church, or I'm a good moral person, or I believe that Jesus existed. You have to become a full follower of Jesus Christ to activate these promises in his word. So the first torment I can protect my spirit from by becoming that follower of Jesus Christ, ask him into my heart, forgive my sin, and empower me to live a changed life. So here's a promise for us if you've done that. We're going to look at John 10, 27 through 29. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me and he is more powerful than anyone. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. So if you have committed to being a follower of Jesus Christ for the rest of your life, it doesn't mean perfection. It means you stay the course. Now, part of that promise is the devil can't change that after you've done that. Here's another level of torment is doubt. Some Christians struggle, you know, I've been sinning or I drifted and now I'm not sure God wants me close anymore. So I've dropped out of church or my small group or ministry. Don't let the torment win the day. If you're his at once, you're his forever. And that's a promise. So stand on that truth when you're tormented about what the devil would do in your mind. You can claim his protection once you've been saved. So I protect my spirit by becoming a sheep, and protect me, God, from torment, from the doubt. God's truth says differently. What else do I claim protection for? My spirit, number one. Number two point or blank is protect my life. Protect my life. Around 1993, I was driving my 1978 Toyota Celica in Irving, Texas. Now, I'm going to stop right there because some of you are hung up. You're like, what is a really big person driving such a tiny car for? And after years, in my defense of driving mom and dad's old station wagon and family cars in college, I worked all summer long and I saved $950 and I wanted to buy something sporty. Now, $900 doesn't buy a lot of sporty, but I did the best I could. So I found this 15-year-old Toyota Celica. It had chrome wheels, it was a 5-speed, and it had a hand-crank sunroof. It was sporty enough for me. But 15 years old, it came with some challenges. This car did. One was the driver's seat was no longer attached to the frame, so it was rigged with a coat hanger. The stereo that someone had put in the dash didn't really fit, so there was a gap, and they had stuffed a sock so the stereo didn't fall out of the car every time you drove it, and the sock would, you know, sag down. It had electrical problems, so if I drove through a puddle or water, it would die immediately, and I'd have to push start it to keep going. The car was metallic brown. And the more it acted up, my wife gave it a nickname that I won't repeat in church. On the way home, you'll think of some possibilities. So I'm in the Celica, the tiny Celica, and I'm driving. I lived and worked in Fort Worth by this time, but I was going to night school to finish my degree at night. So I would commute several times a week at 4 or 5 in rush hour. And in Irving, I was on Highway 183, and at some places, it's 5 lanes both ways, if I remember right. 183 goes near Texas Stadium. And if you're not aware, that's the old stadium where my beloved Dallas Cowboys played for almost 40 years. And there's a joke in the area. The roof, the retractable roof was never finished on that stadium. They left the hole. And if you live in the area, there's a joke. You say, hey, why is there a hole in Texas Stadium? And the locals answer, so God can watch his favorite team. And this has no sermon relevance at all, but I sit in those seats and I hear about the Packers and the Bears week after week, so I'm going to drop my 2 cents in, okay? So in Irving, Texas, I'm driving in traffic, and traffic's moving along fine until it's not. I don't know what it was, a wreck, construction, but all of a sudden, I look up at the road and everyone is coming to a very hard stop. And it's scary. I stood up in that little broken seat and mashed on the clutch and brake as hard as I could. My head was at the roof of the car. And I remember smelling brake dust and rubber. Like there was screeching all around me. It was like, man, this is going to be a bad wreck. And I stood up in that car and came up to the bumper in front of me to stop. And I stopped right at their bumper. And I thought in my mind, I could barely get a piece of paper between these cars. And when I realized I had made it safe and no one was coming up behind to hit me, I sat down in that seat and I sighed, relief. Whew, I made it. And as clear as a bell, the Holy Spirit said this, you know, the devil wants you dead. And he wasn't trying to scare me. He was telling me that something already in your Bible. You have an enemy every day of your life. If he got his way, you'd be dead. God wants to protect us and he holds a restraint on our enemy, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't be sober and vigilant. Here's your enemy's purpose. John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. God is saying this not to scare us, but to take courage, that he has a restraint on the evil one. And every day that I pray, God protect my life, I'm lining up with what God says is his will. One day he's going to call me home. It'll be my time. But until then, I pray, God protect me, because it's not my time yet. God has this restraint. We can see it in several places in the Bible, and we're going to look briefly at Job. In two chapters in Job, the enemy has a conversation with God. He says, I want to attack this child of yours. And God says, okay. He allows that at times to test us and to help us to grow. But God, keep in mind, only gives permission to go so far. He wants to protect your life. Job 2:6. All right, the Lord said, do with him as you please, the Lord said to Satan, but spare his life. God wants to spare our lives until our time is up and we can pray accordingly. And this is encouragement to remind you when things are really bad. Because right now you can look around in this dark world, watch the news and say, wow, the devil is really running amok. This place is going downhill fast, to hell in a handbasket. It's really getting bad, as if God has lost control somehow. But he hasn't. God has his restraints in place and we pray accordingly. Have you ever looked at your own life like I had in a really bad season? And thought, wow, the devil is really running amok. My spouse is unhappy with me. The kids are all sick. The cars are breaking down. There's pressure on the job. And the Lord reminds us, it could be worse. Are you alive? I've put a restraint on your enemy. Pray accordingly that he would protect your life and you could accomplish everything he's called you to accomplish. If the evil one can't have my spirit because I'm saved now, that won't change through all eternity. If the devil can't have my life because I've prayed in agreement with that restraint, or the leash on the dog, if you will, what's the next area? Third point, God, protect my purpose. Protect my purpose. So if the devil can't have me and he can't kill me, he's going to come after my purpose. And why does he care? Because every Christian has a unique calling on their life, unique gifts and passions. And like me, if you're still figuring some of that out, that's okay. But you can start by reading your gospels. What did Jesus send the disciples to do? You see, if you fulfill your purpose that God's put you on earth for, that means that people are going to get saved. People around you are going to get delivered. People around you are going to have their hearts changed and set free forever. It matters to God that you fulfill your purpose, and it matters to your enemy. He would like to come against that. As a young adult, I grew up in a pastor's home. It was a good, loving home. I loved being at church. I loved volunteering as soon as I was old enough. So in my mid-20s, it wasn't far-fetched that God would call me to ministry. In my 20s, just like this church, my church had started a Bible school. I took a year off of college and I went. And I had a distinct moment where I felt a call to full-time ministry. But it didn't mean vocationally or every day, not then. The Lord seemed to be closing doors around me, but the ones that opened were in the marketplace. So I took a temp job. Then they offered me a real job. Then they said, hey, we've got another degree out there for you. And I resisted for a while, but God made it very clear, this is my path. Go learn some things in this environment. I was in the marketplace for 14 years. Went through some ups and downs, learned a lot. Then I had another distinct moment. The Lord said, it's time to go back to that call full time. Leave all of this behind. Take what you've learned and step into another environment. But at this time, it's harder to believe. At this time, I'm almost 40. I've never preached a sermon, had hardly volunteered doing any teaching at class, certainly not over 15, 20 people. When I started to fill out applications or a resume, no full-time church experience. I handed those papers out and thought, this is empty. I didn't get callbacks, had no prospects. This went on for month after month after month. My God-given purpose came under pressure. And it got tougher and tougher to believe, am I really called to do this? And here's the torment part. The devil starts getting in your head. And for me, it was, did you miss God's word? Did you miss his calling? Is it too late? Have you deviated the course too far that he can no longer use you? Surely he's not taking care of you. Maybe he's not even here. Your purpose will come under attack, just like mine did. The torment will come. We have to resist sin and the torment and follow through with what's true according to God. Can you remember a time that you saw God's hand on your life? He preserved you, or you got a glimpse of what you were called to do, why you're here on this earth, just a piece of it. You're going to get tempted in hard times to look past it, to sin away from it, or get tormented about it. You have to hold on to God's purpose and protect it. There's a character in the Old Testament, Joseph, that knows exactly what we're talking about. Early in his life, he had a prophetic, God-given dream about his purpose. He didn't know all of it, but his dream was this: all my brothers are bowing down to me. It was a glimpse of his future in leadership. God was going to make him a great leader. The dream's kind of odd because back then birth order was everything. When it came to dad's assets, land, livestock, it's divided up according to birth order. But in his dream, all of his brothers, he's one of the youngest, are bowing down to him. And he shared it. And they didn't like it. They were already jealous. He was a mama's boy. He was a favorite. He got fancy clothes. And then he shares this dream, how they're bowing down to him. There are chapters of what he went through, but after that glimpse of purpose, life got very, very tough. It got very difficult to believe in his purpose. I'm going to bullet point for you several chapters. His brothers wanted to murder him. He got abandoned in a pit. His father was lied to about his death, so no one came to look for him. He was abandoned. He was sold into slavery. At once, he started to get promoted as a slave. He did well with his gifts, but then the master's wife, a married woman, put the moves on him. He did the right thing. He resisted. He said, no thanks. He still got falsely accused and put into prison. Even in prison, he ministered to his cellmates, the people around him. And when they got out, they forgot about him. For years, years and years of testing and hardship. Day after day, it was challenging to believe in his God-given purpose. But God wasn't done. God doesn't waste suffering on his children. God used it all to prepare him for his purpose. It finally came to pass one day. He rose to prominence in a foreign country, became second in command in all of Egypt. In fact, not only that, people and his brothers bowed down to him. He saved an entire nation from starvation during the famine. God gave him a plan to supernaturally save grain and feed people when they were hungry. He also used him to preserve God's remnant, the few people left that could multiply and build God's chosen people. When he crossed paths with his brothers, after all this had come to pass, here's his conversation with them. This is Genesis 50, 19 and 20. Joseph replied to his brothers, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." People of God, it's not where you've been, it's where you're going. It's not where you are in the valley, but where you end up. If you're in a difficult place, realize that temptation to sin and torment will come your way, but believe in God's purpose for you. God promises you that. Let's look at one of those in Jeremiah 29, 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So let's apply this so I can learn to play, especially when it's hard. God, protect my purpose from the evil one. Don't let me give in to temptation to sin, and don't let me give in to the torment that would come against that purpose. So in addition to God protecting my spirit for all eternity, my life on this earth, and my purpose, what next? Point number four, God protect my body, my physical body. We're going to start off by reading a psalm. This is Psalm 91, 11 and 12. "For he will order his angels to protect you wherever that you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Praying God to protect your body is not too trivial for him. And in this church, we tell you what the Bible says. We pray for divine healing all of the time. If it's something big or small, it matters to God. And just because he lets some things through and you're suffering doesn't mean he doesn't want to protect and heal your body. If you don't know where sickness really comes from, you go all the way back to Genesis. So Adam and Eve are in the garden, and at this point, everything's perfect. They're conversing face to face with God, and their bodies don't have any disease. There's no cancer. There's no sickness. There's no skin rashes, minor problems, no broken toes. In fact, they're not even aging. But once they took the fruit, that opened the door for all of this stuff to enter the world. This is what we're battling. And just like death, at some point, something's going to afflict me. But here's the question. If God can protect me from some of it, why wouldn't I take that? Why would I put up with something that I don't have to? And if I'm not sure it's from him or not, I pray anyway. I've been blessed by God's protection over my body in some special ways. I've also been sick. I've had disease. But let me tell you about one area. A few weeks ago, I sat down and I was watching the NBA Finals. I'm a big basketball fan. And during those last games, I watched two professional, highly conditioned athletes fall with severe injury. Both of them are going to require surgery, 6, 9 to 12 months of rehab. These guys are highly conditioned. They have the best doctors, dietitians, and professionals to help them stay in shape, but they still succumb to these injuries. Some are already questioning, well, are they going to come back? They might not ever be the same. I'm certainly not in that great a condition. And by the way, in many ways, those guys are almost half of my age. But I want to tell you about me. I've been playing pickup basketball for almost 35 years. Played a little in high school, a little in college, and sometimes five or six times a week when I was younger. I have never had a significant surgery on my body for sport. Never. One time I've turned a few ankles, done things like that, but I pray. And at one point I did tear a little cartilage in a knee. The doctor scoped it. He repaired it. When I got out, he said this, "Hey, Tommy, you need to stop playing. This isn't great for your body, and you need to find another form of activity to stay in shape. If you play basketball, play on occasion, but don't do it every week regularly as a form of exercise." This was tough news. It's like, this is my love. I mean, I dabble in the weight room or I can use those machines, but what do I really love to do? I want to get on the court with nine other guys, run hard for an hour, and then collapse. I want to try to win a few games. That's in me. It's part of me. That doctor's order was over 15 to 20 years ago. Now, here's what he didn't know. I know how to pray for divine protection. Every time I get in the truck, I fill my duffel bag in, I'm headed to the gym, here's what I pray. God, would you put your angels around this body? It's older, I don't recover the same for sure, but God, would you, I protect over all the areas for my sport that generally succumb to injury. God, would you protect my head, protect my back? God, would you put a hand around my knees today? Would you protect my ankles? I mean, if in the Psalms he can pray over his foot, why can't I pray over these parts? And I'm telling you, it's been working. Sure, sometimes an injury or sickness is going to come through, but I'm going to pray protection so I don't take anything I don't have to. So I'm going to learn to pray this. You can learn to pray this. Just like Jesus, protect us from the evil one. If the evil one's bringing injury or harm or sickness to my body, God, protect my body from torment and temptation. The next thing I pray to protect, this is point number five, is my mind. Is my mind. If you've been coming to Northwoods for a while, you've probably heard in a sermon, or if you come to our freedom classes, we use this verse a lot. I won't even put it up, but 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, "Take every thought captive." And he's telling us what? Here's where the devil comes, is in my mind. This is where the battle is. This is what I have to take control over, so God protect my mind. But I'm going to take a little different angle today and talk about what happens in our mind. Do you ever have a habit or you're doing something and you say, wow, I'm on autopilot? Might not be something bad. It might be you've taught yourself to wake up early every day without an alarm, or you have a discipline of a quiet time or exercise and you've learned. Have you ever arrived at work and you don't remember driving there? Right? What's happening? You say, well, I don't remember. You know, it's just, it's like magic. I'm grabbing the wheel. I'm in my parking space. I don't remember getting here. What's happened? Well, I've driven to work so many times the same way that it's mindless. My mind has wandered to something else. That's not bad. I didn't have to concentrate that hard on driving to work. It's a mindless, it's a habit. I'll tell you about another mindless habit that I need to work on. That's mindless eating. Anyone? I have learned this at 50. Like I used to, when I'd snack and watch TV, I would pound things like Little Debbie's. I don't do that anymore. I do less. I've shifted to something else like almonds or cashews, okay? But I don't have my wife pick up like the little baby bags. You know, I'm getting this jug at Sam's. It's like I need a two-wheeler to bring it into the living room. So I've got this jug of cashews on the table and I'm watching the game. But what am I doing? I'm watching the game. I'm thinking about the game. I'm not thinking about what I'm putting in. So I'm doing this. And when the game's over at night, I flip it off the TV and I'm about to go downstairs and I look at that jug of cashews, huge, and it's half gone. And I'm like, who snuck in here and ate all those cashews? Oh, it was me. It was mindless, right? I've fallen into a habit, so 40 years I've been watching basketball on TV, right? And I'm shoveling in. I'm not thinking about the quantity that I'm putting in. I'm thinking about the quality now, but not so much the quantity. What do I have to do to change it? I have to replace that habit. I have to interrupt that thought and behavior pattern and put something else in its place. It might be something like this. Hey, walk in the kitchen. Instead of bringing the giant jug of cashews, pour a few on a plate, put it back in the cupboard, and then when I'm done, I'm done. Simple replacement. This is what we have to do in our mind if you've fallen into a habit that's not good. Sometimes something you want to change, sometimes it's darker than that. It's a sinful habit or even an addiction. It's like, I don't know how I get here. It's like I wake up at the steering wheel and now I'm feeling condemned, dirty, wrong. I feel awful, but when I got into it, I didn't. But the thoughts happen so fast now. I'm going to have to find a way to interrupt it. I have to turn off the autopilot. So if it's in my mind, it starts there, by the way. Every sin you've ever committed started as a thought. If it's moving fast or slow, it doesn't matter. So let's focus on the torment for a moment. What does that look like? When I, all of a sudden, the enemy brings me thoughts of lust, anger, revenge, negative thoughts about oneself. And I have followed that pattern to the end over and over and over. It's hard to break. How about anxious thoughts? Our series is God Has a Strategy for Your Stress. And for today, I'll use this example. I'll define stress as this. This is my definition. Stress is fear of a negative outcome. Fear of a negative outcome. So something's coming up, and I think about it, but I get anxious and I start worrying because I'm thinking this might not turn out very well. Let's say this. If I'm waiting on a promotion, right, I'm waiting to hear at work on this promotion. So my thought, my mind might wander and I might say, hey, I wonder if I'm going to get the promotion. I'm praying about it. That's fine. It's okay. But what if the thought takes a subtle shift? I'm not going to get that promotion. And that thought turns into, I'm never going to advance in my career. Never going to make it. Then that thought evolves to, I'm always going to be stuck in a job that I hate. That thought evolves into, my life is going nowhere. You see the progression. We have to get in there and let God interrupt it and replace it with something else. By the way, when our thoughts get going like that, what happens? We get into a terrible mood. It affects our emotions. And that's the torment part that we can start to feel and we can see and recognize it. My mind can go from wandering peacefully to something very, very dark and stressful and fearful. The truth is, I don't know what the future is. I may not know if I'm going to get a promotion, but I can trust God's truth. His future for me is going to be good. We read he's got good plans for me at some point. I can trust in him. We're going to read a proverb. This is Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I want you to know this, that Hebrew word for heart doesn't mean, you know, this muscle with valves in it. Heart, in this context, it means something else. It means a conscience, inclination, my thoughts to think. So if I had my own version, I was translating the Bible, I would look at this word and I would say, my gut, right? You and I in English would say, I feel it in my gut. My inclination is that this is right or this is wrong. I'm going to think about it and my conscience is going to guide me to the right result. So if we take this proverb, what's he saying? Guard your thinker, guard your decision maker, guard your emotions so you'll come out on the other side and win. And notice it doesn't say God will guard. The command is you guard. God will partner with us, but he's putting some of this back on you. You've got to pray. You've got to activate what he promises. God's telling us in Proverbs, guard that conscience, that place in your heart so that you can think well. I learned to pray, God, keep my mind on what is true and right. Protect my mind from temptation and from torment. What other part needs protection? In addition to my body, in addition to my mind, there's one more, and it's my emotions. Protect my emotions. When those thought patterns continue and they turn negative, if I don't stop them, I'm going to have an emotional response that's negative. Negative thoughts produce negative emotions. The emotion itself isn't wrong. God has made us to feel. Jesus walked this earth and felt like a man, just like we do. It's men and women. Here's what emotions are. They're indicators that something's not right inside. It's like your being is sending up a flare. I want you to think of it this way. Emotions are a thermometer over a thermostat, right? What's the difference? One thermostat dictates the temperature of the room. It's running the show. A thermometer is just an indicator. It's telling you, hey, your emotion is trying to let you know something's going on. That's what God gave him to us for, not to run the show and dictate things. We just recognize them. Hey, I'm emotional. God made me this way. But emotions, though, can turn into torment when they don't turn back to truth in my mind. Torment can also turn into sin, right? Feeling angry is not wrong, right? There's verses about it. Jesus was angry, but didn't sin. Here's a couple of examples. Feeling angry is not wrong, but if my anger causes me to what? To use a tone that's not helpful to the people around me. If I say things that I regret, if I'm screaming at them or using language that's not uplifting, if I put my fist through a wall, my angry feelings have now turned into sin. Let's take fear. Not wrong to feel afraid, right? You might enjoy a roller coaster. Part of that's that thrill of feeling. You might enjoy a thriller movie that puts you on the edge of your seat. Your fight or flight mechanism in a close car wreck might help you react faster. But here's where fear gets us in trouble. I'm feeling afraid. I've got fearful thoughts. And I begin making decisions from that place. I can't share Christ. I'm afraid I don't know enough. I'm not going to serve at church. I'm afraid I'll fail. I won't try to make Christian friends because I'm afraid they'll reject me. I won't share my resources because I'm afraid God won't provide. My fearful thoughts turn into feelings that torment me, and now I'm making decisions that could turn into sin. We have to take control of where these emotions are, what God wants to use them to indicate to us. This is Proverbs 25:28. A person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. God wants to build up my defenses, and I pray that into place. God, help me keep these feelings in check where they're not driving the bus. Jesus felt emotion, but it didn't turn into sin. God, help me to have that self-control. Protect my emotions and feelings. Help me to have self-control. So in conclusion, let me wrap this up. I can't always stop what the devil brings my way, physically, in my mind, emotionally, but I can learn to win in those two areas. Temptation, Bible promises, there's always a way out. I can always resist sin. And number two, I can fight off the torment. To put this to use, I'm going to help us pray some things today. If you don't mind standing with me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray through these 6 points. I'm going to pray a sentence or two, then I'm going to pause. You've got to guard your own heart. So just to yourself, you don't have to do it out loud. Just pray that truth over your life. Apply it to you. So just say a prayer. I'm going to go through the 6 points. If you would bow your head with me. Number one, if you're a Christian, you've given your life to Christ, you can do this. God, thank you for protecting my spirit. for all eternity. It doesn't matter how I feel or what I think. You've promised that you're going to keep me close forever and ever. Number two, God, would you continue to protect my life? Every day on the job, if you have a physical or risky job, every time I go on a car trip, if I get on an airplane, God, protect my life. Keep the restraints in place on the evil one. Pray these with us online as well. Number three, Lord, protect my purpose. I've been tempted to doubt it. It's gotten hard. It seems far away. God, protect me from the sin, from temptation and torment. Protect the purpose that you've called me to here on this earth. Number four, God, protect my body from harm. Any affliction or sickness or injury, God, that would come my way, protect me with your angels as you promised in Psalms. Number five, Lord, would you protect my mind? When those thoughts come that don't line up with truth, God, help me to change course. Help me to recognize it. Replace it with what you say is true. Take every thought captive. Help me to do it. Help me to not let things in it that don't belong there. Number six, Lord, protect my emotions from leading me down the wrong path. Help me to read them, those indicators, Lord. Help me to dive in a healthy way, but have control where it's not dictating decisions to me. We ask all this protection, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I know that some of you still want to shore up your protection, okay? It's like, man, I've been fighting torment and temptation, one or both, all week. Don't leave without getting prayer. Come down. Our prayer team loves to agree with you. Don't feel like you have to fight that alone. And for the very first point, if your spirit is not protected for eternity, don't leave without resolving that. And if you are not sure and you have doubts, you can resolve that torment today. You can even do it online. Engage those chat prayer partners, and you can fix it. God bless you guys. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much for being with us online. I trust that God met you at the point of your need. Whatever you've been needing, God's truth will land, and that seed will grow. Be sure to imply these prayers throughout your day and week. If you're near one of our Northwoods campuses for a weekend service or a ministry or class, be sure and engage that. Take advantage of being in person with the body and get all the blessings that God says come with that. Thanks again for tuning in. God bless you. He sure does love you.